generally, with the field camera, the first thing you have to do is load up the film.
Greg Hindy stands in his family's living room in Nashua. It's a couple of weeks before he begins his 6,000-mile walk in silence, and he's practicing with his gear.
It takes setting up this little pup tent, which is for film changing.
In addition to a small tent, a compass, and a map, he plans to carry a tripod and a large format field camera.
It's all light tight within the camera now. I can remove the dark slide, take the picture, and then...
As he adjusts the lens, his gestures are calm and meticulous, much like his demeanor. But Greg Hindy, who graduated Yale with a degree in cognitive science, isn't shy. In fact, he can talk endlessly about what he might think about during his tour.
I think the unknown risk doesn't scare me. I think it draws me towards it because I really don't know what will be the worst day of the year and what will be the... I think it will be really lonely and maybe disturbing at times. I think that how we like experience life through consumption of time is a really interesting...
Hindy says he'll photograph what interests him and mail film back to Nashua. That way, his parents will know where he's been. They'll also see his debit transactions online. To get by without speaking, Hindy will use pre-printed cards that ask things like, "Where is the bathroom?" Hindy has mapped out a general route heading west, but it's not like he's plotted every waypoint.
I'm assuming I'll be lost most of the year. I just generally get lost very easily.
But you're not going to ask for directions. That worries me.
Yeah, I think in a way, if I ended up completely lost and walked circles the whole year, I wouldn't consider the project a failure. I maybe even find that more interesting.
Hindy says that next year, when he develops a film, he's curious how the photos will trigger memories. Of course, he won't have notes. The rigors of the trip seem a bit extreme, but Hindy says the restrictions he's placed on himself are what make this a performance art piece. He opens an oversized book on the life works of Dershing Shea, who he says inspired him.
As you flip through the photographs, I think they communicate a lot.
He points to the black and white portrait of Shea, who confined himself in a hand-built cage for a year without speaking.
And it's not about struggle, it is a struggle. Photographed. People's responses tend to be, you know, why would he do this? I think just causing people to ask those questions, why do I sit in a cubicle all day that's smaller than his cage? We really confine ourselves in these daily routines. We don't do it for 1 year, we do it for 40 years.
But certainly artists can find less drastic ways to probe the meaning of life. And here's the point in the story where the reporter might ask a psychologist, why would anyone want to do this? As it turns out, both of Hindy's parents are psychologists, and they both acknowledge it hasn't been easy coming to terms with Greg's project. But his dad, Carl Hindy, says that his son doesn't see his silence as a barrier.
For him, the fact of his silence is communicating, and how people react and deal with his silence is part of what he's observing.
His son also convinced his dad that this year they may connect more than ever.
That's true in a way, in a kind of artist's way, that he's going to be constantly on my mind. Every piece of data or charge that I see he made on his debit card is going to seem all that much more important for the lack of more data. You know, let's see, what did he buy? He bought granola and bug spray. Oh, great.
Greg Hindy left home the second week of July. He expects to break the year of silence on his 23rd birthday at a friend's house in Los Angeles. That will bring him to July 9th, 2014. By then, he's likely to have a lot to say. For NHPR News, this is Cheryl Rich-Kern.